Welcome to University Drive, your pathway to the transformational work of University of the Bahamas. Our goal is to build a better Bahamas by shaping tomorrow's leaders today, finding solutions to challenges, and forging new opportunities for growth. University Drive, where faculty, staff, students, and alumni travel the road of progress together with you.
The month of May is one that is highly anticipated by seniors around the world. Here in the Bahamas and at University of the Bahamas, that is no exception of scores of students who would have completed their four-year degree study are looking forward with great anticipation to walking across that stage. Well, today here on University Drive, I have the distinct pleasure of interviewing two of our seniors who've been actively involved in the life of this institution during their time here at UB. My guests today are Ms. Arthony Jones and Mr. Donavio Neely, and we're gonna talk about their experience and their journey here at University of the Bahamas, where they will share with us the good, the bad, the ugly, and what they're looking forward to, not just as it relates to graduation, but life after UB, and how University of the Bahamas has prepared them to be global citizens. I'm your host, Nikki Bowe, and welcome to University Drive. Lady and gent, we're gonna get started right away. I'm gonna allow you to introduce yourselves to our listening audience, your name and all of the things you're involved in or have been involved in here at University of the Bahamas, and then we're gonna get right into our questions. So Ms. Jones, I'm gonna start with you. Please introduce yourself to our listening audience.
Good, hello everyone. Jones. I am a graduating senior. Thank you, Jesus. I pursued a dual degree in biology with chemistry and engineering. And I'm so excited to be here.
All right. My name is Donavio Neely. I am currently your graduating class president. I am a former MISTI University of the Bahamas and a former president of the university's Residence Hall Association.
I told you guys that we have some students here who've been actively involved. Before we get into the road to graduation and your experience here at UB, what would have prompted you? A lot of students come to UB, they come to class and they go home. And a lot of students don't get involved and immersed in campus life and activities, but you guys have been actively involved in campus life. And to me, that helps to define an enriching college or university experience. What would have motivated and prompted you to get involved in the organizations and programs and activities that you found yourselves involved in during your time here at UB?
So for me, from I was in high school, I always loved being in leadership positions, whether it was the senator for my class or our USM. And so when I transitioned to UB, it was no different. However, I did take a while to get involved in student organizations on campus just because I was trying to settle myself. But what prompted me to join the Student Government Association, which is one of the organizations that I'm a part of, was that a lot of things were happening on campus that I was not pleased with. And every time, you know, students would always say, go to your SGA representative. And you would go to them, and I always felt like the resolutions that were brought were not satisfying to me. And so instead of being one of the noisemakers, I decided to join to create change, to be the change that I want to see. So that's my main reasoning for becoming a part of the Student Government Association.
Just kind of adding to what she said, as an educator, I am a strong proponent of school culture, which embodies not just the overall academic performance of a student, but just being involved, all of the social skills that you gain as a student and all of the activities that you involve yourself in to pretty much make up an enlightening experience during your time at your institution. And so that's what really prompted me to join all of these different organizations and be a part of the different causes that I was able to support and represent while here at UB.
Arthony, you said that you didn't want to be part of the problem or one of the noisemakers. You actually wanted to be a change agent. During your time as SGA president, what were some of the things that you focused on enhancing, improving, changing to improve the quality of the university experience at UB for your fellow students?
Whew, that's a loaded question. And I say that because it's a lot. So for me, I found most of the issues that students experienced were like academic issues. So it would always be issues relating to classes being offered, especially for those graduating, so that they don't have to take another semester and be here for another year. Issues relating to whatever issues they had with members of the administrative council. So what SGA, we have been focusing heavily on is addressing those academic issues. So like right now, currently registration is going on. And the biggest issue is we have been from 2020, you know, we had the different modalities of learning, and online learning was good for a lot of people. But now we're moving back face-to-face, so the number of online classes has decreased. And now students are saying, hey, we were comfortable with these online classes. They were flexible. They worked with our schedule and stuff. So we want more of those, but that's not necessarily what the university is offering. So now we're in the process of trying to push for the university to offer more online classes to cater to our both traditional and non-traditional students. So issues like that basically are what SGA is working on constantly.
It's interesting that you should say that. And I'm going to ask both of you to chime in. So I'm going to deviate for a minute here, because I remember in 2020, when we had to transition to online learning, not everybody was willing to embrace that modality. It came with a lot of pushback. Some people weren't pleased. And of course, it was a learning curve because it was new to all of us. And now you're saying that some students are saying that they prefer this modality and are advocating for an increased number of access to online courses. What do you think has caused that shift? And how do you think that the online learning can and will benefit our students?
I think it's just become a whole matter of convenience. The online learning was very convenient for a lot of our students, especially the working class and those who are full-time parents as well as being full-time students. And so it was much easier for them to be able to navigate their classes and still be able to prioritize all of the things that they had going on in their life at the time.
Yeah, I'll also chime in to say, so I would have been in 2020, what you call a traditional student, you know, the student that just comes to school, doesn't work or anything. And during COVID, I got a job. And for me, the online platform was great because I was able to not only work and help out with my family, but also finish up my classes. So like Denavio mentioned, the ease of convenience is like the top reason, because a lot of students we see now are they're the working class students, and they're like, okay, I want to do it both. I want to go to school and have a job to provide for my family. So I think that's what caused the sudden shift in online learning. And I think if the university moves towards having more online courses, a lot more students, I believe, would not only enroll, but they would have better educational experiences, in my opinion.
How did you find online versus in classroom? Some, you know, there's the gamut. Some people would have had good, bad, and ugly experiences. What has your experience been like?
So for me, interestingly enough, when we transitioned on a random day, and then we weren't in school anymore. So that Monday, one of my classes, and I would have to shout out my lecturer, Dr. DeLuca. It was like he was prepared, okay, because we smoothly transitioned. It felt as though we were on the online platform the entire time. So for me, my online classes were working perfectly for me. I didn't have any issues like with exams or anything. So for me, I love online. It was working perfectly. I loved the transition. I didn't have a problem, but I know that's not the same for other students. I'm not sure if Denavio experienced something different.
Well, Well, it had its pros and cons for me. Like I mentioned, it was very convenient for me to be able to work and continue my studies. But at the same time, I am an education major. And just as well as every other student, I am a tactile learner. So I preferred face-to-face instruction because I believe in the things that I can see, the things that I can touch, specifically speaking to the science education program here at UB. A lot of what we do required demonstration and experimentation. And so not being here on campus made that very difficult for me because we pretty much had to find so many modalities at home that did not give us that experience that we would have had we been on campus. Let's take, for instance, during my final semester, I did final teaching practice. And this was so difficult for me considering the fact that I had a class load of some 120 students, but I never met any of my students face-to-face. So it was very difficult for me to even so much establish relationships or a bond with them or their parents, to say the least. And at the same time, for many of my students who did not have access to a stable internet connection or a device, I couldn't help them much because I wasn't there to be there with them, to guide them through that process, or so much as to lend them a helping hand when they needed it.
Wow, you guys have shared a whole lot. And I think that that's been everybody's experience. I don't think anybody can say it's been all good, all bad, all ugly. Everybody's had a little bit of everything. There have been pros and cons, but I think, like you said, Arthenique, it's now pushing the university to consider more online courses to cater to the needs of students as they shift. So let's change gears for now. You were talking about your involvement. Genavio, I didn't get to you. Arthenique was explaining what she was focusing on as SGA president. Arthenique, is there anything else you'd like to add to that? Because I kind of interrupted and deviated a bit.
No, I'm good.
Okay, so Genavio, you've been involved in quite a bit. I'm gonna ask you to start with being Mr. UB. Then I'm gonna ask you to speak about your experience and what it is you would have advocated for as residential campus right. president. And now as class president for the graduating class of 2022.
So as Mr. UB, I got to develop my personal platform, which is Education for Advancement. And it was really a framework to spread the message that as a young man growing up in an urban community, Anglesden, I did not have many opportunities handed to me, just as well as many of the other young men and women from that socioeconomic background. And I wanted to spread the importance of, you know, being able to pursue a formal education and all of the opportunities that it can afford you. Being the university's brand ambassador, I got to really embody that role and spread that message. And by the same token, I got to work closely with various areas of student affairs in addition to SGA, and I got to fight for various causes and collaborate and support them as along with the students that they represented. Now, as for the residential campus, my home base from the time that I arrived here, the university's residence hall association was just this robust, this melting pot of varying personalities of students from not only the Family Islands, but from neighboring countries as well. And so I got to really network with the residence life department, providing an overall enlightening experience for these students and showing them what the university's mission is truly about, preparing global citizens to function in a thriving society.
And now you're class president for the graduating class of 2022. What does that entail? You're their advocate.
I am their advocate. And really and truly, it has been a long road getting here. The very first graduating class with a fully face-to-face commencement ceremony since the COVID-19 pandemic. So of course that came with various red flags, various hurdles that I had to get over along with the team that I work with. And so I really thought that I couldn't see anyone else stepping into that role besides myself, just considering the fact that I did it all. I served as your brand ambassador, I served as your residence hall association president, and so now I think that I was the best person, well equipped to handle all of the pressures that came with that position and dealing with all of the different personnel that I would have obviously had to go through to see it through to the end and get you all that experience that you worked so hard for and what they truly deserve.
Awesome. So you speak about your experiences and there's so many opportunities here. Do you think that the majority of students here take advantage of the opportunity to be fully immersed in the campus experience and the university experience? You've both been involved in multiple clubs and programs. Do you think that it's a select few? And are you seeing the same students kind of in multiple things, or is it a larger representation?
I'll let Anthony take a lead on that one.
You can repeat the latter part of the question, please.
Do you think it's like the same set of students involved in multiple things? Or is it a larger cross-section and a greater representation of student involvement across campus?
So I want to say, I think it's the same students that are involved in the same set of things. And I say that because during my time at UB, I've been in various positions and I've always been interacting and working with the same people. So for me, it's like, okay, once you get into an organization and you have a passion and a drive for it, you tend to want to continue to do it. But at the same time, you want to encourage other students to, you know, come and join so that when you leave, you know, the work of the organization continues. So I think it's been a bit of a struggle, you know, trying to get students to actually like be a part of organizations of change. And specifically for SGA, I would say it's very hard to get students to be a part of it because a lot of students, they like to, let's see what I'm looking for. They like to throw jabs at SGA and they like to cast the blame, but when we say, hey, you know, maybe you should come and join us and be a part of the change, is an automatic, ooh, that's not for me, or whatever. So I think that you do see a lot of the same students in leadership all the time. But I think we also need to find ways to get more students involved.
Well, for me, I think it has a lot to do with the school culture. Not specifically speaking to UB, but just most institutions in general, you find that only the top 10 percentile of students are involved in a lot of the activities that goes on around the school. And that's why it's so important that we have areas such as, let's say, for instance, the Office of University Relations and the Division of Student Affairs, who encourage these students to get involved and teach them the importance of being active beyond the four walls of the classroom and pretty much incentivizing these students. Because let's take for instance, I mean, realistically speaking, students aren't going to overextend themselves if there isn't some tangible reward for it. I think, truthfully speaking, we don't get much tangible recognition for the work that we do around campus. I think it's pretty much just a passion of ours, but maybe if we were to incentivize these students, they would definitely become more involved.
So for those students that are on the fence, not sure what to get involved in, if they should get involved, how do you think your involvement has contributed to your success academically as a student here on campus?
Well, starting with me, I want to use the perfect story. As a science education major, I managed to land myself an internship at Bahamar, the number one resort in the country. And this was something that was so rare for a UB student, to say the least, because out of 400 applicants, I was the only student to be selected from the University of the Bahamas, and they cut that number down to 20 finalists. And so from this internship, I managed to find myself a job and continue on networking with various lecturers and different personnel from the Bahama Resort who did work around conservation and sustainability education. And I don't think that this would have been possible had I not been so actively involved on campus and was able to build an impressive resume and to be able to sharpen not only my public speaking skills, but just my social skills, my work ethics, and my academic performance.
Awesome. And I think that's something that a lot of people miss. Arthenik, I'm going to let you speak, and then I'm going to piggyback on that as we segue into another question.
So, for me, being a part of leadership positions has helped me, like Danabia mentioned, it helps you to build a lot of connections and a lot of relationships with people. And a lot of the things that I have done, I would not have been able to do if I didn't join an organization and didn't have these connections and stuff with people. And it doesn't just help you now, it helps you like when you start your professional life, your professional career, and things happen and you know that I can just call Dr. So-and-so or Dr. whoever, and you know, things can get done. So it's benefited me a lot. I always say I enjoyed my university experience more because of the leadership positions that I would have been a part of. I'm almost tempted to say I like the leadership positions more than the academics, but but yeah, for me, I thoroughly enjoyed just meeting new people, building connections. It's been, and the benefits that come from it as well, whether that be taking a trip to the next side of the world, it's been good for me. And so I would cherish those moments more from my university experience.
You know, I'm happy you said what you said, that you almost enjoyed them more than you enjoyed the academic part, because I think what you're saying in essence is you not only got a really good education at UB, but UB provided you with skills, soft skills that will equip you and help you as you begin your professional life. So because of your leadership in SGA, you can now enter a boardroom with a higher degree of confidence to negotiate, to advocate, because you would have had that opportunity in school that a lot of others may not have had. And so they may not be as advantaged as you are as they begin to navigate that world outside of the classroom.
So yeah, I definitely agree.
There are benefits to being involved. And like you said, you know, the connections, networking, I think that's something that's super important. It's one of the buzzwords of our time. When you look at career building, it's really about networking and connecting with people and being able to call on the movers and shakers and the influencers.
Right.
And you guys are having that experience in university to equip you for life beyond this campus.
Yeah. So I just want to interject. So I also wanted to mention one thing that I appreciated about being in a leadership position is that it actually develops you professionally, because like it teaches you like this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do, and it prepares you for the real world. And I would give an example of that. So being in SGA, you know, you always have to attend meetings and stuff like that. And sometimes it can be intimidating. Like my first set of meetings were intimidating, and you know, I would just let people say whatever they want to say because I'm too shy or timid to, you know, speak up. But then as time progressed, I'm like, okay, I'm going to stand up for myself, stand up for my rights, et cetera, et cetera. And I would never forget my first time I was hosting a meeting and the chair of the meeting could not attend. And so that meant that I was now the chair of the meeting. And it was a room full of men, and I was the only female there. And when the men came in, they were like, someone came in on their phone, they were just talking. And I was like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, do I just let this happen and, you know, just stay in my shell, or do I stand up for myself and take control, you know, of the meeting? And so I did the latter. So I stood up for myself and I took control of the meeting. And after the meeting was over, one of the gentlemen, he's like, I've seen your growth as a leader. I've seen what being in leadership positions have done for you. I'm very proud of you. And for me, that was like the icing on the cake, because I felt good. I felt, you know, great that I stood up for myself, and that in a room where I felt intimidated, that I was able to control the crowd and demand the attention.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, that brings us to our first break here on University Drive. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about your classroom experience. I want you to give advice to students and parents. And I want to talk about what you're looking forward to when you leave these hallowed halls of the University of the Bahamas. We take our first break here on University Drive. We'll be right back.
Technology is great, but nothing beats a good book. Buy a book this Christmas and increase your child's literacy skills, vocabulary, creativity, and imagination as the words on the pages come to life. Shop in store on University Drive or online. We also ship to the Family Islands.
Feed our minds. Feed the future.
To protect yourself and others from COVID-19, stay home as much as possible and avoid close contact with others. Wear a mask that covers your nose and mouth when you leave home. Wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, or use alcohol-based hand sanitizer. Practice social distancing. If you must leave home, stay at least 6 feet away from other people and disinfect items you must touch. Limit in-person contact as much as possible. To prevent the spread of COVID-19 if you're sick, avoid public transportation, ride sharing, or taxis. Stay home if you're sick, except to get medical care. Remember to call ahead first. Separate yourself from other people and pets in your home. Everyone is at risk of getting COVID-19. Older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions may be at higher risk for more severe illness. This message is brought to you by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and University of the Bahamas.
Welcome back to University Drive. I'm your host, Nikki Bo, and if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking today with Arthanique Jones and Denavio Neely. Arthanique is the SGA president. Denavio Neely is the former Mr. University of the Bahamas, former residential campus president, and he is currently the class president for the graduating class of 2022. Now, I can't tell you how excited this year's seniors are, because we've not had an in-person commencement since 2019. So 2020, we ended up going virtual, 2021, and Mr. Denavio Neely, along with some of his peers, have been advocating for an in-person graduation. I sit on that community, that committee, and we heard the pleas and the cries of the students, and we did whatever we could to advocate to the competent authority and the relevant agencies for this to happen. And so we are all excited because our students have worked very, very hard. This is going to be a milestone and historic commencement for the University of the Bahamas, because it is the largest graduation class to date. And we're back in person. There's so many things, and I don't want to spoil it because I want some of you to kind of tune into our commencement to find out these things. But before the break, we were talking about your involvement in campus life and how that has enriched your college experience. I want to now get a little more specific and talk about your academic experience. Denavio, when you first came in the studio, you said if you could make it at UB, you could make it anywhere. And that is something that has been said over the decades. Scores and scores of people that have passed through UB will tell you that they may have struggled at UB and they went abroad and school became a breeze. That UB really prepared them for a better life in a global society, which is our value proposition. Share with me what some of your favorite classes were and how those classes enlightened you and ignited that passion for learning.
Ooh, there are so many to choose from. But if I had to choose one, I would say Education 325. It talked about philosophy in education. And this course, of course, was led by the great Janice Munnings, one of my absolute favorite lecturers here at the university. This class, it really allowed us to focus on, you know, how education even came about and what the philosophers thought about the education system itself and how learning should be carried out. But speaking specifically to the classroom experience, Mrs. Munnings truly made this class feel not so much as just another lecture hall, but it really felt like a conversation every time we got there. The class was very interactive. There were so many different personalities among the students, and we were able to have civil discourse and not only entertain one another in the process, but really find lucrative ways that we can enhance this profession and make the overall experience for not just us, but the students whose lives we will impact much better with all of this philosophical teaching that we were able to grasp from this class.
Arthony, you want to chime in?
Can you repeat the question, please?
A class that stands out that would have really impacted your academic journey here at UB, one of your favorite classes?
Ooh, I have a lot of favorite classes, but this is a tough question. But for me, I would say that class would have been Biology 310. And Biology 310 is animal physiology. And when I entered the class, the lecturer for that class at the time was Dr. Veronica Toppin. So when I entered the class, it was a big class, maybe about like 50 people. And so I was like a bit intimidated because I've never been in a big class like this. And I remember the first words from Dr. Toppin were, she said that you will have a real university experience in this class. And I wondered, like, what is a real university experience? I was like, we just transitioned to university, so what is she talking about? But I realized that the real university experience that she spoke about was that she's a very firm lecturer. She's very sweet, but firm. So you won't be able to run over her. So you won't be able to say, oh, I want to submit these late assignments. She teaches very well, so you understand the course. And then you have to go and study on your own. So you can't just say, I'm going to attend class and that's it. So for me, that class was the best because I actually had to have discipline in that class. I never studied so hard. I never read the textbook so much until I got to that class. And I was like, okay, this is what a real university experience is. And I oftentimes take that into the real world to show that in the real world, things don't always go the way that you want them to do. You have to work hard. You have to put in the extra work to get it done. So that's why for me, that class was good. So I worked hard and I did get a C+, but I promise you, that's the hardest C+ I ever worked for in my life.
You know, I'm happy you can smile about that because a lot of times when we work hard, we expect to get an A, but working hard doesn't always mean that you're going to get an A. You did your best, you put in the work, and this was the end result. And I think that too is part of the college experience. You're going to do exceptionally well in some courses. You're going to do good in some. You're going to do okay in others. And then there's somewhere you're going to work your butt off and you may still not get that A, but that doesn't diminish the effort, the time, or the work that you've done in that class. And I think a lot of times you sometimes end up learning a lot more than just what that classroom lessons were about, but it also provides you with good qualities. It teaches you to be disciplined, to be determined, And it provides you with those skills and those character traits that will help you to be successful. So having talked about the class itself, both of you mentioned persons as well, lecturers. Who were some of the lecturers that were influential in your college journey? And it may be more than one. I did say lecturers that would have motivated you, that would have encouraged you, that would have challenged you during your time here at UB.
Well, first on my list would be Miss Nakara Pratt. She was my residence life director. And of course, living at the residential campus, she really took on that role of being that mentor there for us students. And she was really the lecturer that got me involved in UB as much as I did. Before becoming so involved, I was one of those students like Arthenique began to mention who just went to work, went to classes, and continued on with life as usual, never contributed to any social aspect of UB. And Ms. Pratt was the person that allowed me to step into my leadership and take on the various roles that I filled here at UB. Now, in addition to Ms. Pratt, another lecturer that I would have to give credit to is Dr. Tara McDonald. So Dr. McDonald was my teaching methods lecturer who ended up becoming my supervisor during my final teaching practice. And I will continue to sing Dr. McDonald's praises. Believe it or not, when I first entered her class, I thought she was a very rough around the edges type of person. She was very cutthroat. But the more that I got to spend time with her, I realized that she was not just being cutthroat. She just wanted us to be the best version of ourselves. And she was not allowing us to settle for anything less than the best. And having her supervise me through what had to be the most difficult semester of my life. Picture this, one course was worth 15 credits. So Dr. McDonald really held my hand and took me through that course and allowed me to see all of the do's and don'ts of the profession. And at the end of the day, as hard as I worked, I really thought I would get an A. I got an A minus, but that is the A minus that I feel so proud about because I worked very hard and I am so thankful to Dr. McDonald for seeing me through this process.
Listen, I'm happy you, I know Dr. McDonald very well. We went to school together from primary school all the way to high school. And we actually ended up teaching at the same school together.
Wow.
So when you say cutthroat, I was like, is this the same Tara that I know? But she's that person. She wants the absolute best. She will always challenge you and she does not settle for mediocrity. And I think it's lecturers like her that bring out the best in the students, that challenge you, that push you to go be above and beyond and to not settle. Are there any others or just those two you want to reference?
Oh, there are so many others, but they'll be here all day if I wanted to reference everyone.
You know, that's something that's very interesting, Donavio. So let's talk about some of those others, because I'm sure, you know, a lot of times we just hear about the negatives of UB and, oh, this lecturer, this and this. Who are some of the others? Take us through some of those. We have some time.
Okay, so Mrs. Joyanne Thompson, she was a biology lecturer. I'm sure Arthenique is very familiar with Mrs. Thompson as well. Joyanne, another very cutthroat lecturer. I actually got a B minus in her class. So don't let me sell you the story that her class was an easy one. But I appreciated her class because on top of working hard, we truly learned. And she was a very understanding lecturer, very lenient, not so much in her grading, but very lenient in every other aspect of the course. Mrs. Janice Munnings, a favorite in the School of Education. Ms. Munnings had a maternal instinct that was unmatched, and that was something that I did not expect in a university lecturer. And so I'm so grateful for her for that. Dr. Kathy Ann Antonio, another lecturer who was very, very, very rough around the edges. I use this word a lot because I had a lot of my lecturers who were pretty much like this. So Dr. Antonio, another lecturer who always encouraged her students to give their best. And Dr. Antonio was someone that always strived for perfection. We could not turn in work to Dr. Antonio that was not our best work. And so just having her there, and interestingly enough, I took Dr. Antonio's class in the semester of the pandemic. So spring 2020, where it was fully face-to-face, and then very abruptly, we went to a virtual modality. And Dr. Antonio, she was very understanding of the challenges that a lot of us students face and the difficulty that we faced. And she was just so accommodating. And believe it or not, last year on final, during final teaching practice, where Dr. Antonio usually served as a supervisor to many of the students, she lost her husband. And we still got the Dr. Antonio that we were so used to, dedicated to her work, passionate, always making sure that we stayed on top of our grades, always making sure that our students were engaged. And that is something that you have to respect, something that you must appreciate. A lecturer going through probably the most difficult time of their life, experiencing the greatest loss of their life, but so giving of themselves just to see their students succeed.
Thank you so much for that. Donavio, you mentioned something. You said a lot of these lecturers were like cutthroat, you know. How was your transition? I wanna come back. Arthenika had to leave us for a brief moment. She'll be back. And so when she comes back, I'll let her speak about her favorite lecturers or those that had a positive impact on her. What was that transition like for you coming out of high school and transitioning to university? Was it an easy transition? Did it progressively get better? Speak about that, those years coming in as a freshman and working your way up.
This was certainly not an easy transition. I graduated from C.R. Walker Senior High School. And of course, we know C.R. Walker has established a reputation for being one of the top performing public schools in the country. But at the same time, stepping into the University of the Bahamas was a completely different arena. We no longer had teachers who served as parents away from home, but we had some lecturers who were simply here for the mere fact that they had to teach. They were not interested in exploring various modalities of accommodating students, the tactile learners, the students who are audiovisual, the students who were kinesthetic learners. We just had straight up lecturers, persons that talked for the entire time. Now, for me, that was very different because I was not used to this. In addition to that, the school culture, just seeing you had just this various tier of students. So for me, being a 17-year-old sitting next to someone who was much more matured in life, probably married with kids, you got to see various aspects of how persons were able to navigate the university experience. And so it was a culture shock for me, and I honestly didn't like it at the start of my university journey. But as time progressed, I pretty much got used to the way that things went. And as I always say, and like we say very commonly around the university, if you can survive UB, you can survive anywhere in the world as long as you're able to adjust and adapt to the changes.
I want to go on to something else. You made some very good points there. One of the things that I don't want to overlook is the fact that you lived on campus.
Right.
And you're from New Providence.
Yes.
And a lot of times we think that only our family island students live on our residential campus. What made you decide to live on campus, and what was that experience like for you? What was dorm life like?
Well, let's piggyback a bit. So I lost both of my parents at a very young age, and I lived with my grandmothers, who both unfortunately passed away during my freshman year. So no longer having that support system, I had to make a very, very crucial decision. Was I going to drop out of university and continue to work and provide for myself? Or was I going to take an extra step and literally knock on doors to demand everything that I think I needed to survive this very difficult time. And I took the ladder. So I walked up to the residential campus one day and inquired about the provisions. And ideally, first preference would be given to students from a family island. But in this case, I was what the university would consider an extenuating circumstance. And this is something that you have to appreciate about UB. As rigorous as it may be, some of the persons that work here at the University of the Bahamas are very understanding of students' plight and they accommodate you. And so I ended up living on the residential campus as a full-time student, a full-time employee, and also a student from New Providence. And it was very different moving there with some 60 plus students, and I was the only one from the capital. So I got to see various aspects of how persons lived in various different islands, the culture from the various islands, and also just the way that they viewed the capital and the city life and how I viewed the capital and the city life. But at the end of the day, we all had one common goal: to make the most of our university experience. And that is why I decided to really become involved with the Residence Hall Association, because we got to pretty much promote the essence of what it was like to have an overall university experience living on the campus. You got to see the social aspects of UB. You got to see UB behind the scenes and all of the different struggles that we face as university students in our personal life, and still be able to focus on our academic performances.
Tanavio, before I continue, I must say that I'm so sorry for your loss, but in that you, God, I'm getting all teary-eyed. Your resilience, your determination, your will to succeed against the odds, your commitment to self and to excellence, and rather than finding or making excuses, finding solutions and trudging forth, determined that you would succeed. And that in and of itself is a success story.
Yes.
And so I just want to congratulate you for not giving up, because when the odds are stacked against us, we often look for the easy way out. And you, clearly failure was not an option. And you found a way to find the avenues to ensure that you were able to continue your educational journey in the midst of loss, in the midst of tragedy. And when you could have been defeated, you decided that I am going to triumph and I am going to overcome these obstacles. We're almost out of time. And as we wrap up, what are you most looking forward to on commencement day? Walking across that stage, I know it's exciting, but you also just shared that you lost both parents when you were young, your grandparents. And so I know that this evokes a different kind of emotion for you than it would for most students. What are you looking forward to, Danavio, as you cross that stage to receive your degree, considering what you just shared with us, your personal story in that flight, and all that you've gone through here at University of the Bahamas?
I am looking forward to walking that stage and fulfilling my mother's dream. Believe it or not, going to college has been the dream of my mother, and she had that dream for me. And so I was determined to fulfill that dream and honor her legacy. And so that is why commencement was so important for me, and why I stopped at nothing to ensure that we all got that experience, that face-to-face commencement ceremony. Because I know, just like myself, there are so many other students who probably have the same idea in mind and wanted the same thing. And that is why I'm so excited. And this is the greatest milestone of my life. I know that there will be many others, but right now, this is the highlight of my life. And I am looking forward to it.
And we will be there cheering you on.
Yes, I'm back.
Yes, you are.
I share similar sentiments as Danavio. I would always say that, so my two degrees, they're not mine. they belong to my mommy. I'm gonna be just honest, because it feels as though she's the one getting them. She's more excited than me. So on graduation day, I'm just looking forward to walking across the stage and fulfilling a life dream that I had, but also dedicating it to my mommy, who's been one of my biggest supporters. Not one of, the biggest supporter. So, and just after it, just giving her those degrees and just being like, here, this is yours. But yeah, I'm just making my family proud and just finally being finished with undergrad. It's going to be very exciting.
If you had to describe your university experience here at UB in one word, or maybe I'll give you two, or a phrase, what would it be?
Innovative. My university experience was innovative. Graduating in a pandemic is something that I don't take very lightly, and it's a flex. It's something that I will be proud to tell future employers about, a difficulty or a difficult situation that I was able to get myself out of. And the University of the Bahamas has to be one of the rigorous places on earth in terms of not only its curriculum structure, but all of the different processes, from registration to acquiring your textbooks and so on and so forth. And just being able to navigate all of that, it truly speaks to innovation in the face of adversity.
What about you, Arthenique? Innovation in the face of adversity.
That sounds like a graduation theme, or the innovation in the face of adversity. Wow. If I would use a word to sum up my experience at UB, I'm going to be a little unconventional and just say, hoo, child. Like, that's literally... So I'm like, hoo, child, I made it. Hoo, child, it was rough. Hoo, child, I'm happy to be finally done. So like that phrase right there literally sums up my entire university experience. It's been literally a roller coaster of highs, lows. There were days I literally wanted to quit. I remember one day I was taking a calculus 2 exam, and I came from the exam and I just wanted to drop out. And I went to Miss Raquel Edgecombe. I went to her office and I was crying and I was like, I don't want to be here anymore or whatever. And she was like, there are other things that you can do. She said, find something else to do, just don't quit. And that was some 4 years ago. And now I'm here and graduating. So I'm just happy that I didn't quit. So hoo, child. Wait till y'all see me on May 26th.
So as you guys get ready to exit these hallowed halls, there are scores of young people getting ready to enter these hallowed halls for the very first time in August. And they will be a part of the class of 2027, 2026 or 2027, one of those. What advice do you have for those new students coming in to ensure that they get where you are today and that they don't quit, that they don't find excuses as to why they can't, but that they find innovation in the face of adversity and woo child, they make it through this journey?
I would say just take it all in. I know it sounds a bit cliche, but UB is just pretty much a take it or leave it type of institution. And when we all grasp that concept, that's how we're able to trudge forward. Take advantage of all of the opportunities, all of the different experiences, all of the persons you will get to work with, all of the different lecturers you will experience. Take it all in, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because at the end of the day, that is what makes up the overall university experience.
And I could not have said it any better. So in the words of Denavio Neely, the class president for the class of 2022, take it all in. So just take it all in.
What are you going to miss most about what will soon be your alma mater?
For me, it's just being here. Like, I'm on campus and I haven't been, we haven't been fully on campus in what, 2 years. And I did not realize how much I miss just walking campus, you know, just coming in the library or walking on the B block strip. Like, it's amazing. And every step I take, it brings back the memories from the first day of my freshman year to now. So I'll definitely miss the environment, the people, just everything, honestly.
I'll probably miss the fact that as a student leader, we got to go on the student leadership retreat every year. Of course, this was something that hasn't been done since 2019 because of the pandemic, but this was probably the most exciting time for any of us student leaders here at the university. We got to spend a week in Eleuthera at the expense of the university and just pretty much network and socialize with all of the various faculty and different student leaders from the university. And we got to see each other outside of the classroom, and we got to see how each other lived, and we got to live among each other, to say the least. And this was something that was very different. It was unconventional from the university experience. It's not something that most people would think of, but it's something that was definitely needed. And it really allowed us to decompress, just take away from our responsibilities for a bit and just unwind. And at the same time, acquire more skills and learn from different leaders and how we could become more impactful to the persons that we led on campus.
Final question before we wrap up today's show. University of the Bahamas prepares students to be global citizens. How has University of the Bahamas prepared you not only for a better life in a global society, but to be a leader for life?
Because of UB, I understand what it's like to work well under pressure. Because of UB, I understand the importance of inclusion and the need for acceptance and diversity and a positive work environment.
Arthenik, you get the final words.
I agree with what Zanavio said. So I'll continue. Because of UB, I've learned that I can literally strive in any environment. Because of UB, I've learned to put my creative skills to work. Because of UB, I've learned how to be a professional and how to advocate for the rights of those that don't have voices for themselves. And so because of UB, I've learned how to be the best professional that I can possibly be.
Arthenik and Zanavio, thank you so very much. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I hope that your stories today and you sharing what you've shared inspires others, inspires the incoming freshmen, inspires those that will be sophomores, those that will be juniors, and those that will find themselves in this position this time next year as seniors of the class of 2023. I congratulate you on this milestone. I am excited. We look forward to this time of year. And our office works hard. We work well into the midnight hours just to make sure that it is as perfect as can be, because what we do for the students, because you've worked hard. And it motivates us to ensure that graduation day is as great as it can be. Congratulations. I wish you well on all your future aspirations and goals and dreams and accomplishing those things. And you've proven that University of the Bahamas is more than an academic experience, but it gives you the skills and it equips you with the tools necessary to navigate life, the real world, and to prepare you to be confident, to prepare you to be prepared, to prepare you to excel, and to take your rightful spots as leaders in our society. That brings us to the end of this episode of University Drive. Be sure to join us same time, same radio station next week for another exciting episode of University Drive. And be sure to visit our website at www.ub.edu. www.edu.bs. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I'm your host, Nikki Bo. Enjoy the remainder of your day. Thank you.
University Drive is a production of the Office of University Relations and the Communications and Creative Arts Academic Unit at University of the Bahamas. All rights reserved.